So we have quite a few announcements this morning. So there is a Baptist Women's Workshop on March 1st from 9:30 to 12 noon in Tilbury, Ontario. The workshop is called Reflections, Inspiring Women, and the cost is $20, and the registration forms are on the table at the back. So it should be a worthwhile event if you're able to attend, and the registration deadline is February 17th. So if you're interested, you still have time to sign up. There's also going to be a Baptist Men's Conference on February 22nd at 8:30 at Banwell Community Church. The speaker for that is Dr. Chris Crocker, and the topic is Standing Firm. There is a cost with lunch involved. The cost is $25. So if you're interested in attending, you can speak to Kevin Augustine about that. Our Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday, January 29th at 7 p.m. for our study of the parables of Jesus. So this week we're looking at the parable of the wicked vine dressers. So we, due to the weather and some illness, we didn't meet last Wednesday. So we are doing that study this Wednesday, but there's also the following Wednesday study on the back table. So you have extra time to do that preparation. And if you're not able to come Wednesday, take a handout, because it's a great, great work through Jesus' parables and some good learning if you do that even at home on your own. Our speaker next week is going to be our new pastor, Reverend James Odejai. Odejai. We're learning how to say the last name. So Wendell is a really good help with that. Odejai. Okay, so let's get that mastered by next week. And today we're so happy to have Wendell here with us this morning. So we look forward to the message that God laid on his heart. So this time, let's go to prayer before our Maker. Lord, we just thank you so much for your presence here. We thank you that even in this cold weather, we're able to gather together. And Lord, we just thank you that wherever two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. So we know that you are with us at all times. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence within our hearts individually and as a church family as well. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. We just ask that your spirit be here and be evident. Speak to us through the singing, through your word, through the scripture that's read. But Lord, just give us a nugget of truth from your word that you want us to take with us that we can share with others as we leave this place at the end of the service. Lord, we just thank you so much for this church in this community. And Lord, we just thank you that after such a long time, you have provided a pastor for us. Lord, we just pray that you will bless James as he prepares to come and make a move to Windsor. And Lord, we just also ask you to prepare us that we can work in harmony together and do great things in reaching out with your message of love into our community here. Lord, we just thank you for his dedication and his willingness to come. And Lord, we just ask that you bless him as he continues his studies as well. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to meet here. We thank you that we have freedom to come and worship you, that we don't have to hide in places like other countries that have persecution. So Lord, we thank you for the freedoms. As much as we complain about leaders and government, Lord, we just thank you that you have provided us with leadership in our government. And Lord, we just pray that more people within our leadership in our country will show their faith in you through decisions that are made and actions that they do. So Lord, we just ask you to continue to bring leaders into our country that are followers of you. Lord, we just pray for our missionaries that are in other countries. And Lord, we just ask that you be with them as they serve you. And it's such a difficult time, I'm sure, at times. And Lord, we just pray that you will help them to feel your presence, encourage them through the prayers of people and through the givings that are given to missionary work. But Lord, we know that there's so many places in our world that still need to hear the gospel and about your salvation. And Lord, we just pray that that work continues so that all people throughout our world have the opportunity to learn and make a decision for you. Lord, we also just pray for people that are in persecuted countries that are meeting today in churches that are underground. Lord, we pray for those believers that have to hide while they proclaim their faith and have the opportunity to meet and worship you. So Lord, we just We just ask for people that are in persecuted countries. And Lord, we just pray that you liberate those countries and so that they do have freedom to worship without being fearful. Lord, we just are so unaware of the things that happen in our world. But Lord, you know the things that are a concern. You know the problems that there are. You know the things, even if we can't name certain things that need prayer, you know them. So Lord, we just lay things before you that we're not even aware of, that that people need your help and look to you and cry out to you about. So Lord, we just pray for all of those things. Lord, we just thank you that we do have the ability to worship here. Lord, we thank you for the word that you've laid on Wendell's heart for us this morning. And Lord, as we continue in our worship service, be with us. Make this time an enriching time. Draw us to yourself. Lord, help us to lay all of our cares and concerns outside the door so that we can focus on you completely through the remainder of this worship service. And Lord, bless our time together and our fellowship with one another. It's just help us to be keep each other in prayer as well. Lord, just help us to be more faithful about being in your word and praying and making it a priority to pray for others. And Lord, we pray for those in our congregation that need your help. Especially pray for Kathy at this time as she's been away for several weeks. And Lord, for Mary that needs your healing touch as well. So Lord, we just pray for any unknown needs in our congregation as well. Just you know the needs, and Lord, you can meet each one. And we just thank you and praise you for that. I pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue with a few praise songs. So we're going to start with We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise.
It's found in 2 Corinthians 5. Verses 16 through 18. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Thus God speaks to us in his word, talking about what God wants from us and what God believes we should be in him. Our topic this morning is, so what's new? Now, coming here this morning, I learned a few new things. You have a new pastor coming, which is exciting to hear. And if I were to ask you what's new in your life, maybe something is newer this year than was last year. But I found a few new things to me, and maybe you know these already. Anybody heard of a thing called bonsai skydiving? Anybody? Interesting. Now, bonsai, if you know history, is the term that the Japanese kamikazes would use as they were going to commit harikari, or to kill themselves or to hurt other people. Bonsai is that. But bonsai sky jumping is this. You throw your parachute out of the plane, jump out after the parachute. Wouldn't that be exciting? Really risky. It's tough enough to think of jumping out with the parachute, much less throwing it out. And there are some places where you jump out of the plane without a parachute and guide your way to a net, and you land in the net close to the ground. People are looking for new ways to be exciting. I found something new, though. If you use your computer, you ever are on YouTube and you want to pause your video and you're, oh, where's that thing? Just hit the K button. It pauses and unpauses your video on YouTube. That's something new? That was worth all of it, wasn't it? Okay. Now, this is a fun one. Anybody who has a child around the age of 4, if you remember, it is said that children, 4-year-old children, ask around 400 questions in a day. Are we there yet? What's for food? Where are my clothes? Where are my socks? Where are my, and so forth. New. We're talking about new today. How would you like to have these new boots? Wouldn't that be exciting? Keep your feet warm, wouldn't they? And for you ladies who love your purses, how many of you ladies love your purses? Here's a new purse for you. Whatever animal that is from, that's a whole purse for you. Now, when we use the term new, I want to remind you of something. You may say, wow, he's got a new tablet. I'm looking at some of you in this room. This tablet is older than some of you in this room. Maybe you're seeing me with it for the first time, so you think, oh, it's new, he got it for Christmas. No, not so. New, we're talking about. Now, this is a fun thing to try and do. You see there are two colors here, correct? The top is gray, the bottom is white. This is called a corn sweet illusion. If you take your hand and put your hand between the two, between the gray and the white, what do you see? They turn the same color. If you put your hand between the gray and the white, across that middle section, they both turn gray. Everybody seeing that now? Okay, if you aren't, you can come up after, but you can see that's a corn sweet illusion. Because of the way your hand structures itself through there, you see a different color, something new to me, an exciting experience. No, something else that was new to me. Do you know what happens to the bad kidney when there's a kidney transplant? Anybody? What's that? They leave it in your body. They leave the old bad kidney and it shrivels up. Oh, well, look at that. There you go. That's new. Just this year. I just learned that in preparation of the sermon. So, okay, good. So, it's amazing to think new does not necessarily mean that you get rid of the old. New does not necessarily mean that you get rid of the old. And that's the promise and the premise we want to look at today. And we just read our scripture reading that we heard, so we'll continue on from there. Now, when Paul talks about new creature, if there's anybody that became a new creature, it was Paul. Paul was a murderous Jew, found Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he became a new man, became a new creature. Behold, he was no longer the same. So as Paul went about preaching the good news, trying to help people to learn about this Christ that he found, reconciling them to God again, then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" They're asking that about Paul. What does this babbler want to say? Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of a foreign god, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." So what did these people do to Paul? They took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." New to them. So it must be strange, unique, because the Athenians were foreigners, but they loved to get around and talk about stuff. They loved to discuss great theology and great understandings. So some of this group were Stoics, or Stoicism they believed in. Some believed in Epicureanism. Now, both philosophies were founded in Athens and almost overlapped in some way. Any of you know what Stoicism believes in? Anybody? Any scholars out there? Anybody know what Stoicism believes in? Stoicism says you live justly and virtuously. That's the highest good that one can experience, and that pleasure and pain are to be treated indifferently. Epicureanism claims that we should seek to maximize our own pleasure. So these were the two philosophies that they believed in and wanted to discuss with Paul. But Paul came in differently. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Paul said to them, I understand you are religious, you want to worship something, and you're looking to worship this unknown God. And it's as Paul says, let me tell you who this unknown God is. Let me give you some knowledge as to who he is. And he continued to speak to them about this unknown God. And he expressed certain parts of what God is. First of all, he says, this unknown God that you believe in, okay, he does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he were needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood and every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not too far from them. This is the God he introduced them to. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. The divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devisings. Now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. This is the man that he spoke to them about, this Jesus who made all the difference and gave us all the opportunity through his righteousness to be righteous. So in explaining this to them, it reminds me of times that people would come to Jesus and say to Jesus stuff like, explain to us, what is really very important? So one wise young person came to him and says, listen, Jesus, teach us, what is the greatest commandment? Now you know that the Jews had many commandments. Sometimes people say the Ten Commandments were for the Jews. The Ten Commandments were there before the Jewish nation, or else what would be wrong when Cain killed Abel? The Ten Commandments were there before the Jews, but they have forgotten the Ten Commandments. They've forgotten this God of the Ten Commandments. So Jesus reminded them, here is the greatest commandment you should know. The first is simple. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And when we look at the first commandment, greatest commandment, it encapsulates the first four commandments God gave to the children of Israel at that time. Because if we love God, we will obey him. We won't take his name in vain. We will worship him, and we will trust him in every way. The second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And in there we find the last six commandments that you know well. So God was saying to them, these are the two most important commandments. But that doesn't mean, because he said these are the two new commandments, that he has thrown away the ten. This is just to give us a better understanding of the ten. We're talking about new. Now, have you ever had someone ask you the question, why are there so many denominations? Have you ever heard that question? Interesting answer to this question, and if you don't mind, I will share my thoughts with you on that. Every denomination that has started, I believe, found truth that was already in the Bible that had been hidden for whatever reason by man. So, the new truths for those who separated from the Church of England and became Baptist believed in voluntary church membership and baptism by immersion. The Bible was the only guide, and that believers should be able to read and interpret it on their own. Believed that baptism by immersion represented the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It had been in the Bible, But for many years, the leaders of that time said, no, we can baptize babies. But the Baptist church said, no. We believe that is a choice that someone makes to accept Jesus, and in so doing, they are baptized by immersion. That's where the Baptist denomination came from. Do you know the new truth that started the Lutheran church? Anybody? Martin Luther, Roman Catholic, would climb on St. Peter's Basilica on his knees to try and pay for penance, try to pay for his sins, until he found Galatians 3:11 that says, the just shall do what? Live by faith. And because of that, he started the Lutheran denomination, if you want to call it that. Salvation is a gift from God, and that people are justified by faith in Jesus, not by their own works. Was that new? To Martin Luther it was, but it was still in God's word before that. Anybody know what started the Methodist Church? John Wesley started the Methodist Church, and again, he had the same revelation of the fact that the just shall live by faith. Only in Jesus Christ can we be saved. The new truths that merger of four denominations into the United Church, their heritage was believing the Bible as the authoritative guide to life and the importance of conversion. That's where it started. The Bible, sola scriptura, only the Bible. And we must be converted and accept Jesus Christ as our own. The new truths that started the Pentecostal movement, anybody know? Yes, I'm sure you do. It was baptism with the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And this is based on the idea of the day of Pentecost. Okay? And one of the greatest ones that they believe is important is speaking in tongues. But you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is what Jesus told his disciples just before he was going up into heaven. You will receive the Holy Spirit, and you'll be able to do what? Be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So on the day of Pentecost, we know what happened. There was a rushing sound, tongues of fire, they say, and they went out speaking tongues. And Pentecostals believe that they can speak in tongues. Unless you have the Holy Spirit, you can't speak in tongues. But what are the tongues that they spoke? And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Now, how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? The own tongue in which we were born. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we were near them speaking in our own tongues and wonderful works, the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? So when you speak about speaking in tongues, biblically, you're talking about a language. Talking about a language that people were born with. It is not some babbling. Because honestly, if I wanted to play, I had tongues, I can go, ah, shalabalabalba. I can do that. I can play that. Does that prove I have the Holy Spirit? No, it proves I know what to say, to act like I have the Holy Spirit. But I thank God I do speak in tongues. I can say bonjour, ça va? Très bien? Oui, oui. Anybody speak Japanese? I have the joy of speaking Japanese. I lived in Japan for 2 years. And I love to tell this story. I will go up to a Japanese person and say, Nihon no doko kara desu ka? And they look at me like, boy, this guy's English is so bad, I don't understand a word he's saying. Then I say, どうしたの?日本語わからないの? 日本語 is Japanese for Japanese. And then they, oh, he's speaking Japanese. And then, oh, then I can talk to them forever. And they're so embarrassed. And I used to tell my wife this story. And she said, oh, that's cute. We went to a restaurant and I saw the chef was Japanese. I said, 日本のどこからですか? He's looking at me like, oh, boy. Then I said, どうしたの?日本語わからないの? And my wife said, I get it now. Anyway, so nice aside. The fact is, every denomination, biblical denomination, has found something that was in Scripture that had been lost or not seen or not understood and started a new denomination from the Word of God. But God says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. God was going to make a new covenant. And if he's making a new covenant, what was the old one? If you recall the old covenant of the sanctuary services, where when you sinned, you had to bring a sacrifice to pay the price for your sin. That was the old covenant. But that old covenant, every aspect of the sanctuary pointed towards Jesus. Every piece of furniture, every aspect of that pointed towards Jesus. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, we're told a veil between the holy and the most holy place was torn in two. There is no longer need for someone on earth to go between us and God because we had the mediator, Jesus Christ himself. So a new covenant, yes, but it didn't get rid of the old because it was still an issue of forgiveness for sins. Romans 6 says to us, 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus said, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, and his blood is a new covenant, as it were, to save us. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. Everything that God has put in his word has been everlasting. Is it a new covenant that God wants us to love everybody? No. No, God has always wanted us as his children to love everyone. God has always wanted us to really be his children and to treat others as he treats us. That's why it's been from the beginning. Revelation says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name will be written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Negro Spiritual says, I got a new name written up in heaven. By God's grace, when we get there, he will give us a new name. I don't know what that means, but does it matter? Will God not call me Wendell anymore? I don't care. Call me whatever you want, God. I'm just happy to be saved. But the fact is, I believe the new name is a fact that you're saved, that you're in his presence forever and ever. Amen. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. That is a God that we serve. He is going to make all things new. And no matter whatever we think of our lives today, no matter what goes on in our lives today, God promises to make all things new. Yes, we're in a new year. People probably have already broken all of their resolutions. I don't know. They say that by the end of January, most have. But I pray that this year, your greatest resolution is that you will come closer to Jesus, spend more time in his word, pray and pray and pray. I'm going to say this over and over again. There are three things that will make your Christian experience vibrant. Three, make your Christian experience vibrant. First of all, Bible study. No question about it. You got to study his word. You got to be in his word. You got to see what he says in his word. And most of us are okay with that. Second one is prayer. We got to pray. We got to pray that God will always speak to our hearts. Pray that we can become more like Jesus. Pray, of course, for the forgiveness of our sins. Pray that you will make me what you want me to be. And most Christians are pretty good with that one, too. How many did I say there are? Three. One? Scripture. Be in the Word. Study the Word. Two? Pray. The third one I think most of us struggle with. And I'm not trying to say this to be cute. I have a term I call spiritual constipation. What is he talking about? We know physically what that is, where stuff doesn't want to get out. Everything that God has made us with is to be in and out. You breathe in to hold your breath? No, you got to breathe out. If you drink 50 gallons of water, what's going to happen? It's got to come out. But what happens to us spiritually? We take in sermons, we listen to Christian music, we study our Bible, we pray, but we never tell somebody about how good God is. We never witness to someone about the goodness of God. And that's why I think when we lose the vibrancy of our spiritual experience, it's because we're not telling anybody about it. It's almost like we're trying to keep it a secret. Can you imagine if somebody walked in this door that you know, they look at you and says, I didn't know you were a Christian. Because you've never said anything to someone, nor even showed that an interest, that you had an interest in God. So I pray for this year you'll have a vibrant experience, studying his word, praying, and telling somebody about it. And let me ask you this big favor. When you tell somebody about it, be excited. Be excited. Young lady had just gotten engaged, so she gets on the bus. Excuse me, bus driver, can you tell me how to get to 4th Avenue and 6th Street? The bus driver had just gotten a new pair of shoes. He said, yes, ma'am, you go down that way, then you turn that way, and then you go that way. Be excited about this Jesus that you serve. Become a fan of Jesus Christ again. You know what a fan is, right? A fan is a person, no matter what subject you start on, they're going to end up on what they're a fan of. Baseball fans, they don't care what you think. They're going to tell you what they think of their team. Now, I feel any of you Lions fans? Sorry. I was preaching at a church not too long ago, and the Lions were doing well. And the guy came up to me afterwards and says, I must confess, I was listening to your sermon, but I was also listening to the game. A fan of any team loves that team. And I am amazed when a person who is a fan says, did you see how we played last night? You weren't on the team, but they say, we. Did you see what my team did? They don't even know your name. But that's what a fan is. Why are we afraid to be fans of Jesus Christ? Why is it that when somebody asks you about Jesus or God, you kind of get quiet. You don't want to be a fan of his. I pray this year that we'll become vibrant Christians, enjoying the goodness of our God, trusting him in every way, because he alone is all that matters. He alone is all that we should worship and be concerned about. I'd like to share a song with you now. My voice behaves. one God alone, created all these things we call our own. From the mighty to the small, the glory in them all is God's and God's alone. God and God alone reveals the truth in all we call unknown. For the best and worst of man won't change the master's plan. It's God's and God's alone. God and God alone is fit to take our universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise, for God and God alone. God and God alone will be the joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire. Our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take our universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise, for God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take our universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise, for God and God. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise, for God and God alone. That's the God that we serve. He's the only true God. And I pray throughout this year, day by day, and with each passing moment, we will allow him to renew us, make us just what he wants us to be. That is my prayer for each one of us today.